Isaiah chapter 1. Most of us are very familiar with the song, I'm Dreaming of a White Christmas. A song written by a Russian Jew who migrated with his family to the United States, fleeing persecution, fleeing trouble, settled there, grew up there, a man called Irving Berlin. And Irving Berlin, although he wasn't a Jew, or wasn't a Christian, sorry, was a Jew, always enjoyed the Christmas season. He and his wife had a little baby boy. The little baby died tragically in 1925. And every Christmas they would go to the grave of their son, who died Christmas Day 1928. As the Second World War broke out, he wrote this great hymn of nostalgia, or great carol, I'm Dreaming of a White Christmas. And it became popular. People all around the world began to sing, particularly a man called Bing Crosby. And even today, it's one of the most famous Christmas songs. Well, Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 18 speaks about how you can have a white Christmas. How that your life can be changed this Christmas. How that all your sins, though they be scarlet, can be washed whiter than the snow. God says in Isaiah 1 verse 18, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet. Scarlet is a red color used by the Jewish people that really has an orange hue to it. It's a bright red. It says, though your sins be bright red, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson. Crimson is a darker color of red. Where red is got a purple or bluish hue to it. And both crimson and red, the two Hebrew words that are used there, speak of dyes that the Jewish people used to dye their garments. They were indelible, permanent dyes. Once they stained the garment, you couldn't erase the color by human methods. God says, come, let us reason together. Lo, your sins be as scarlet. They shall be white as snow. Lo, they shall be red like crimson. They shall be as wool. Now, Isaiah chapter 1, the context of these remarks was God was talking to the Jewish people. People that were very religious, if you read chapter 1 very carefully, you will see that they still went to the temple, still made their sacrifices, still outwardly observed the rituals of religion. And they thought they were good enough, and that was good enough. And God sent Isaiah the prophet to warn them. It wasn't. To warn them that just going through the motions of religion, going through the cultural aspects of religious worship, didn't satisfy God. And God says to them, come. He orders them, come to me. And the word come there is a legal summons. Maybe you've received a letter from a court in your life. The court calls you to stand before the judge, stand before the magistrate. And God here is summoning his people to come before him into his courtroom. He says, I'm going to try you, going to judge you. And the reason God has called them is because they're guilty. They've broken his law. And they've gone through all the outward forms of religion, but God says it's not good enough. Now, this trial that God is calling Israel to is different from any trial you will see in this world. Because this trial, God says, is one where the guilty have the option of not being judged. The guilty have the option of having their crimes forgiven. And God says to them, come and let us reason together. The idea of the word reason means come and let's have a legal trial. Let's have a legal dispute. God is calling you here this evening the same way. Maybe you're religious. Maybe you're even a churchgoer. Maybe you're someone who prides himself or herself that you're a good person outwardly. You pay your taxes. You seek to bring up your family in an honorable, decent, outward way. Maybe you've been married to the same person for many years. And you think that's good enough to please God, like these Jews did. And God says to you the same as he said to them all those years ago, come to me. Come into my courtroom. Come and be examined. Not by your standards. Not by your view of yourself, but come and let me test you. Let me try you. Let me examine you. And God says to the children of Israel, as he calls them to him, he says, your sins may be scarlet, bright, permanent, indelible in your life. And you heard Kenneth's testimony last week and Eddie's testimony tonight. Both these men were deep in sin. Both these men were scarred by their sinful choices. It left them with an emptiness. It left them with no peace in their heart. It left them with a conscience that wasn't clear, wasn't clean. Left them guilty. And they tried to fill the void with drink, drugs, and immorality, and all kinds of other pleasures that the world says if you do these things, you'll be happy. Of course, the devil always lies. Because the very first person who was ever in this world that he spoke to, he told them the same lie. And he said to Eve, if you take of the fruit in the Garden of Eden and you take that, you'll be free. You'll be happy. You'll be like God and God won't be able to tell you what to do. And your life will be so much better, Eve, if you just take the fruit. We know the story, don't we? She listened to the voice of the serpent. Even though she had no experience of sin to test it by, she listened to the voice of the serpent and she took the fruit, the Bible says, and did eat, thinking that sinning against God would make her happy, would make her free. And she discovered that what looked beautiful to the eye turned sour in her stomach. And immediately the Bible tells us her and Adam realized they were naked. In other words, they realized they were guilty before God and they tried to hide themselves from God. They made the fig leaves to cover themselves up. And the relationship between them was broken as husband and wife. And there was no longer that bond that they had before, and sin always does that. When it comes into a person's life, it affects you personally, but then it affects your relationships with others. And the reason we have so many problems in Larne tonight, in all the housing estates and developments, is down to one word and one word only, sin. S-I-N. Let me make it very personal. The reason you have problems tonight, the reason you have a guilty conscience tonight, the reason that you're afraid of death tonight, is because you are a sinner. The Bible says, it is appointed unto man once to die. But after this, what? The judgment. There's another moment coming. There's another place to go. There's another trial to go through. And when you leave this world, there's another world. And when you get to the next world, you go alone. You come into this world by yourself alone. You leave alone. And you come to stand before God alone. God says to you and to me this Christmas, come, come. Maybe you're here tonight and you hear the voice of God already talking to you. But as you hear God's voice speaking in one ear, you'll hear the devil's voice talking in the other ear. Because there's a battle for your soul. I had a man come to see me recently. In fact, he was the second one. And both men said the same thing. They said, all day long, I knew I was coming to meet you in this place. And all day long, I have had a battle in my mind whether to come or not to come. Whether to stay at home or come here to this place. Whether to get right with God or stay in my sin. No doubt there's people here tonight, and that describes who you are tonight. You hear the voice of God saying, come, come. Let's deal with your sin. Let's reason this out. Let's fix this problem. Let's give you eternal life. Let me forgive you your sin. But the devil also will be talking to you in the other ear and he'll say, no, no. Maybe he'll tell you, you've plenty of time. Maybe he'll tell you, mañana, tomorrow. Maybe he'll tell you, well, try and fix some things first in your life. You're not ready to come. Clean up some of the outside. Try and stop using those words you know you shouldn't say. Try not drinking so much. Try and keep away from the bars and the pubs and the clubs for a while. Clean up the outside. What does God say? Come. Come today. And don't delay. And he says, lo, your sins. This is the amazing deal God offers. Though your sins be bright red, permanently staining your life, though your sins leave a mark on your relationships, on your conscience, and on your heart, he says, though they be red, bright red, they can be whiter than the snow. I was driving over Glenwary the other night and coming down to Larne, and I could see the snow on the mountains there. And it was beautiful just to see the beautiful white snow sitting there on the hills. God says, though your sin be flagrant, be real, be powerful, be permanent in your life, it all can go. It all can go. And if you're here tonight and you're a sinner, and everyone is, and you're lost, and you're not saved, here's the good news. You can have your sins washed away. Some of them? No. All of them. washed away. You heard Eddie's story? Last week we heard Kenneth's story. Both came to the same Savior. Both confessed their sins, which were many. And in a moment of time, in an instant, they were all completely forgiven. All washed away. And they were born again. If you're here tonight and there's a big burden of sin in your life, here's the good news. You're in the right place. Here's the good news. God has brought you here for a reason. Here's the good news. Tonight is the night that the burden can all be lifted. Tonight is the night that every sin can be forgiven. But you've got to come to the same Savior that Eddie came to, that Kenneth came to. Though your sins be scarlet, red like crimson, flagrant sins, dark sins, many types of different sins, doesn't matter how far you've fallen, though your sins be bright crimson, God can wash them all away. He can't wash them away, but He can wash them away. You know, many years ago, a young man, or just a child, living in the Wild West in the United States, and he was on a wagon with a horse. And the horse took off. And his parents screamed, seeing the child dragged away by the horse. And a very courageous man saw the child being taken by the horse, out of control, maybe to its death. And he ran, and as the horse passed, he grabbed a hold of the rein, risking his own life. And he held on to the reins until the horse came under control. And the little boy's life was saved. Many years later, that little boy became a man. He found himself in court. Found himself in court for a very serious crime, where the punishment was death. And after the court hearing was pronounced, the judge looked down at him, and he says, "Young man, I sentence you to death." And the young man looked up at the judge, and suddenly he recognized the judge. And the judge recognized him. And the man said to the judge, he said, "You were the man who saved my life all those years ago when I was a boy." The old judge looked at him and he said, "Yes, young man, that is true. But all those years ago when I rescued you from certain death, I was your Savior. But today, I'm your judge." And he said to the officers of the court, "Take him away to be sentenced to death." And you know, Jesus Christ is here tonight. And he says to you, "Come to me and I can be your Savior." But if you won't accept his offer, Jesus Christ will be your judge. Jesus Christ will be the one who will put you into hell. How much sin can Jesus Christ forgive here tonight? All of it. How quickly can he forgive all your sin tonight? Immediately. How long will his forgiveness last?
eternally.
He says, I give unto my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish. So if you're here this evening and my time is up, I said I would stop by 8 o'clock. You may have come with a terrible burden of sin, but you don't have to leave that way. You may have come with a guilty conscience, but you don't have to leave that way. God says, come. It's a choice you must make. Can't come to the church, we can't help you. Can't come to the sacraments, the bread, the wine, the baptismal tank. Can't save you. Can't do anything for you. Can't wash a single sin away. But if you come to the Savior, He can wash every single sin. Instantly, completely, eternally away. But of course, the other side of it is equally true. If you live a Christless life, you will die a Christless death, and then you will go to a Christless hell. It's a choice that you must make. An old Saxon king in England used to conquer cities that rebelled against him in this manner. He would bring his army to a rebellious city. He would send one of his generals with a candle. And he would say, put the candle in front of the city and light it. And he said to the people in that city, as long as the candle is still burning, if you come out and surrender, I will spare your lives. But when the candle runs out, there'll be no mercy. When the candle runs out, there'll be no forgiveness. I'll send my army in, and I'll destroy every single one of you. Burn the place to the ground. And you know, God is saying the same to you tonight. He says the candle is burning, but it's burning quickly. And time is running out for you and for this world. On the side of this church as you drove in tonight, there's a Bible verse, there's a statement. Maybe you didn't even see it. It says this, it is time to seek the Lord. It is time. Maybe you've been running for too long. Now is the time. Maybe you've been going your own way for too long. Now is the time. Because tomorrow may never come. Today is the accepted day of salvation. Come to the Savior. Come, he says, let us reason together. Though your sins be like scarlet, they shall all be wiped away, become like snow. Why don't you come? And this Christmas, instead of dreaming about a white Christmas, you can experience the whitest of Christmases when all your sins are washed, whiter than the snow. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word this evening. We thank you for the sense of the presence of God. We pray for anyone here that's still outside of Christ, still going his or her own way, on their way to a lost, Christless eternity. We pray that you would waken them up before it's too late. For when we take our last breath on earth, it's too late. And all of us are heading to eternity. Some of us will get there faster than others, but we're all going to the same place. Pray tonight that you would convict, that you would convert, and that sinners would come to the foot of the old rugged cross and come to the Savior, cry to Him for mercy and forgiveness, and they will discover, as we've been told in this testimony and in your word, that though their sins be like scarlet and crimson, they can all be washed away, and they can be whiter than the snow. Thank you for the gospel. We thank you that we have hope in a world that's got no hope. That we have hope in a world that's full of confusion and chaos and anger and strife and unhappiness. That we can come this evening in this place and declare the great truth of the gospel, that Jesus saves, Jesus keeps, and Jesus glorifies every one of His children. For we ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.